What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL here on Sports Radio 610 on this Wednesday, where there's things that keep moving and shaking in the National Football League. And while the Texans and seven other teams continue to concern themselves with the playoffs, the rest of the NFL continues to concern themselves with what their teams will look like and who will be at the helm of their teams in the 2026 season. Obviously, the big news in the NFL was Mike Tomlin stepping away from the Steelers. And with that, it creates a very big void in the National Football League. And it puts another job that I think is pretty interesting out there. How people found out about this was very interesting as well. I would like to take you to Baltimore, where Steve Bisciotti was the owner, or is the owner, of the Baltimore Ravens, and obviously a big rival of the Steelers. They also are in this place where they're dealing with the head coaching spot. And oddly enough, Steve Bisciotti was speaking to the assembled media, something that does not happen a lot around the NFL. An owner in this moment speaking to the media. However, he found out about Mike Tomlin in the moment. This is what he was saying on the podium.
At Pittsburgh.
He did? Is it official?
That's what I keep hearing. So, is he a candidate here?
Holy Mike, wouldn't that be awesome? Only if John takes the Pittsburgh job. Wow, wouldn't that be interesting? I don't know. That thing last week, maybe disqualified him for my opening after our kicker missed a kick to let them advance. Good for Mike. Yeah, I don't know. Talk to him. I love Mike. I mean, I've admired Mike for 18 years, and that's really shocking that he did it that way. But yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Couple things that are important here. That was in the moment. That wasn't plan what you're going to say. Hey, you're going to be asked about Mike Tomlin. That was, a true emotion, which led to the second thing. That's not a no. That's not a no.
It's not a no. I feel like it would be a no. I think he
understands. Do you really? I don't know.
He also said, I admired him for 18 years. He coached there for 19. Yeah. Which year was it that you didn't admire?
It was 2011. He didn't like him that year.
Bleep that guy that year.
Probably this year, to be honest.
Yeah, it probably was with the way that it ended. Him sending a kiss to the camera.
Crazier things have happened.
Fair enough. Yeah. But yeah, it seemed for at least a week, people were doing the Tyler Loop kick was an inflection point. Mm-hmm. And if that was the case, both of the coaches are now gone. But Bisciotti was asked if Tyler Loop did hit that kick, would John Harbaugh still be the coach?
Yeah.
If Tyler Loop makes that field goal, is John Harbaugh still here coaching this team?
For a week.
Damn.
For a week. Okay.
Damn.
Yeah, he probably knew it was over.
That's
early
rough.
On in the season.
That is rough.
I ain't gonna lie, he kind of entertaining, man.
Oh, he's great.
I didn't know he was this entertaining.
No, he's
like
great.
This.
Yeah, and very honest.
And you got to enjoy it while it lasts, because I thought it was very insightful what he was saying actually about his ownership of the team. He's 65 years old right now, and this was his conversation in that meeting or in that press conference about how long he'll own the team.
How long am I going to? Because I kind of always said I don't think. Well, I'm not passing it down to the family. I made that decision 25 years ago. I don't think that's healthy for my family. I've seen families feud and ruin over these damn teams, and I was determined not to do it. But when I watch guys like Art Blank and Steve Ross and Jerry Jones and Jerry talking about what part of his anatomy he would give up for a Super Bowl at 83 years old, I don't want to be there. I really don't. I want to win a couple Super Bowls and get the hell out. I'd love that to be in the next 10 years when I'm 75. That's my dream. If I got one of the top teams at 75, I'll probably stay till 76. So I'll probably bail somewhere around 10 years from now when I have a really bad season or back-to-back seasons. And he'll probably be coming with me. Right? Eric said he's not a lifer either, so.
That guy is refreshing. I love his approach. By the way, you know, one of the teams has had, I'm not going to say, you know, fallen apart, but had some issues, you know, when the team gets handed down right here.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Oh yeah, I wonder if he watched like Succession or whatever. Yeah. He looked at his family. He was like, "Nah, they will."
I kind of appreciate that.
I did as well
because look, everybody don't want to be a team owner.
Yeah,
like so that's kind of I know it sounds crazy to say, but it's a little bit inconsiderate for me when you pass away. Now I got to deal with this.
Yeah,
he was like,
it's
"Look,
like any other business,
and you don't know.
I will get all the NFL money. Y'all can split that. I don't need y'all fighting over the football team.
And you don't know how invested in that, how passionate they are.
That's just like a regular business. If you have a tire shop, and
I don't like tires.
Yeah, you're like, what am I gonna do with this? Like, I don't want this company.
My man said, I'm going to cash out.
Ooh, and in 10 years.
I do love also that
$10 billion at minimum.
I also love that he looked around and he's like, hey, they are not living right. I don't like the way that they're moving at all. I would like to be out of this business.
My favorite part is they had two back-to-back loser seasons and I'm out. How many teams want to hear that from their owner?
Yeah, that was weird. Like, it was refreshing to hear it. Seeing as we are not in Baltimore, I imagine if we're in Baltimore, we're like, just sell it now then.
Yeah.
If that's how you feel, just open this thing
just
up.
Just imagine being a Browns fan and you hear that from Yo. All right, bet.
Yeah, bet.
Please. Yes, please sell the team.
Yes.
But yeah, so shout out to Beat Steve Biscotti. I thought that was really interesting. A lot of eyes on who's the next coach there, who's the next coach in Pittsburgh. But Mike Tomlin, the thought is, especially as we talked about yesterday, because he stepped away and because he wasn't fired, the Steelers retain his rights. If somebody wanted him, they'd have to trade for him.
Right.
So people are thinking that he just steps into media. Have you thought about what would be the best media space for him? Well, I imagine that he's probably more of a studio desk guy as opposed to an analyst.
Really? I was going to go
You think
other
he's
way.
An analyst?
That voice, those pipes, you know, the inside of a head coach. I mean, just the way he talks, that's built for in-game analysts.
Well, the thing that I always say is I hate an analyst who still has aspirations of going back in coaching.
Yeah.
Because if they do, like, they usually hold back.
Yeah.
Tomlin might not be a hold back type of guy, but I hate it if you're in the booth and you're clearly holding back because what are you here for?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be giving me insight.
Yeah.
Give me your insight. I think that he'd be good on a table. Apparently, Fox is considered to be the favorite for him to step in with Strahan, Bradshaw, Howie Long, Gronkowski. Do you feel like that'd be the place to go, or would you see him maybe sliding into that Matt Ryan spot that's been vacated at CBS?
I think either Matt Ryan or Terry Bradshaw would be where he steps in. Bradshaw, it's already, and he even kind of is almost out. You can tell that he's already almost out. But Matt Ryan would be logical if he can, you know, be, you know, critical enough. I think he would be great in the booth, man. I mean, just the sound, the insight, being able to...
The quaint folksy stuff that he says.
But yes, all of it. And also just knowing, you know, what's happening on the field because he's defended it. He's, you know, coached it, all that. I think it'd be great if he can set it aside.
So happy trails to a couple of offensive coordinators. The big one, Kevin Petullo, was fired yesterday.
Get out of town.
It just had to happen. Well, let him tell it. He, I think through a roundabout way, he was pretty upset. He felt like people did not give him enough credit for what he did there.
Not too bad.
Did Kevin Petullo deserve to be fired, John?
Yeah, I think so. I absolutely. Have you noticed the number of coordinators that are out there?
There's a lot of them, a lot of jobs that are opening up. So Petullo goes, and so for I don't know how many straight years now it is, the local boy, Jalen Hurts, will have yet another offensive coordinator. People are starting to ask. The streets are asking. Does this need to go further up the train? Like, does Nick Sirianni need to have some reckoning with
yes.
this?
And I think when you start, it's a classic sort of formula. You know, you start with the coordinators and then the special teams coordinator, and then it goes up to the head coach. I think this is just sort of survival, you know, survival for Sirianni. But, yes, I think there's a strong case that can be made that he needs to go.
The other offensive coordinator that was let go, Greg Roman mm-hmm. for the Chargers. Justin Herbert, obviously a very interesting figure around these parts because people are sick of hearing about Justin Herbert. I thought that this would work well with Greg Roman because Greg Roman's history of an offensive coordinator is he comes in, he gives you a bump for 2-3 seasons, and then it looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was just bad
yeah.
there with the Chargers. They're wasting what
has
been.
How many years in is he?
Who, Justin Herbert?
Yeah.
Six? It's been a number of them at this point.
Yeah, because he got paid. I want to say he got paid, was 2 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Justin Herbert has played, this is year six.
Yeah.
Mm. Two Pro Bowls in there, including this season. But, this is year six.
Past time.
And it hasn't been there for him.
Yeah, it's past time.
Don't forget about Texas legend Mike Devlin. He was the offensive line coach there.
Yeah.
He's gone too.
Yeah, and I get it, right? Mm-hmm. You had some terrible injuries all the way through, and that's not going to help, but you can't have dudes just being olayed to your quarterback in the wild card round. It just can't be that.
Yeah.
So those coordinator positions are open, and it's interesting because I think there's more offensive coordinator candidates out there than there are offensive head coach
yes.
yeah, candidates,
that's
really.
That's kind of why I brought it up, and two of them are right here. You know, we're talking about Matt Burke, which I know we're going to get to.
Yeah, I was like, none of those names have popped up just yet in offensive coordinator searches, but also we're not in the heat of the offensive coordinator portion of this.
Yeah, and we don't know. I mean, some of them may have already been, back channeling it,
sure.
So to speak. But I think Ben McDaniels and Gerard Johnson could easily, or both, could easily move on. And that would be a direct hit to Nick Caley, who really relies on them a lot in the passing game.
We'll keep our eyes out on for that.
Yeah.
But more immediately, Matt Burke has officially joined the ranks of coaching carousel names as yesterday the Arizona Cardinals mm-hmm. requested an interview for Matt Burke.
Arizona Cardinals, Tennessee Titans apparently.
Did the Tennessee Titans actually?
I didn't reported.
Okay, so there's interest, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is official. He's name on the board, Matt Burke.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember. I think Arizona had another defensive coordinator that name eludes me right now. Does this feel like one that he could get, especially all coming off of the Jonathan Gannon tenure there?
Every owner that saw Monday night's game has Matt Burke at least on their list somewhere, if not now, somewhere down the line. You can talk about, hey, it's really D'Amico's defense, but people in the league know what Matt Burke, first of all, his resume. This wasn't just they put him there in the last 2 years. No, he's earned the right to be a candidate and has been a coordinator in the past. I think Matt Burke is, big-time candidate.
You confident that he can balance because the conversation that inevitably comes up when one of your coordinators is in one of these searches
mm-hmm.
is, are they going to manage to balance the interview process with making sure that their team is ready for game day?
Yeah, I think the NFL, that's one of the things that the NFL does well. You can't even, begin to interview, not even Zoom calls, or maybe you can do Zoom calls. But anyway, you can't begin to interview until after you're done or you have the bye week. I think, who was it? Was it a Denver coach maybe that was it Vance Joseph? Or somebody that had an interview because they were off. But that's, they do it the right way. So, yes, I think he can.
Yeah. This is going to be a place to watch. I don't know if there's been people doing the thing where they go, hey, there's some interesting defensive talent there, and can he bring that system there? Without doing that, I just wonder, how do you like the Cardinals' job as a potential opportunity? Now, it might just come down to it's one of 32,
mm-hmm.
and if it's there, you have to, explore it. But how do you like that if you are Matt Burke as a potential landing spot?
I think Matt Burke has to be very, very serious about it and likes it a lot simply because, he's not, as much as everybody notices him and he's on a lot of lists, it's not like he's the hot candidate, the big name, the former coach.
That's what kind of make him perfect for Arizona, to be honest.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I think Jonathan Gannon, I don't think he was the hot mm-hmm. girl on the block right there, mm-hmm. but. It seemed like they kind of they like those type of hires.
Yes, yes, and I also think, there's an opportunity there for a quarterback. There's an opportunity there for him to bring in some players because people say, well, he's not going to be able to take Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson with him, And so maybe he's just benefiting. Or
he could take Gerard Johnson with him.
He could do that. But I'm saying he could build. He knows how to build that type of defense. Yeah. You know, because he's been around D'Amico and he's done it himself.
Yeah, we'll see how that continues to progress. I'm not going to lie, though. I remember probably when I was half awake scrolling on social media and seeing fans of, and I can't remember what team specifically that needed a defensive coordinator, looking at it like, I think we should get Matt Burke. And I'm like, you think he's going to make a lateral move?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
These guys?
Yeah, just wild. But they're people have been taking note of what Matt Burke does. Some other things that are maybe more, you know, related on the field. Fred Warner says he's ready to return for the Niners. Mm-hmm. And I think that could be a huge, maybe not a swing, but it could be, you know, big in making that side of the bracket a little bit more interesting. Because the Niners are a team that they are, what, a 7-point underdog versus mm-hmm. the Seahawks? Mm-hmm. Fred Warner in the middle of that defense does a lot to pull everything together. He is the glue of that defense. Obviously playing the role that Azeez Al-Shaair does in this defense. Do you think that can narrow the gap some for the Niners?
Absolutely. This is a team that is basically being held together with tape right now.
Yeah.
You know, they have so many injuries. And on the offense,
Eric Hendricks and Garrett Wallow were playing linebacker for him.
I saw that. I was like, Garrett Wallow.
Yeah, Garrett Wallow. Yeah, man. That's a Texas legend right there.
Oh, yeah, that guy. He was a special teams guy, basically.
And Garrett Wallow, with all due respect to him.
Nick Casario guy, too.
Yeah. This year, he was out here looking for a job a lot of times mm-hmm. during the season. And so he found that landing spot there because they just needed somebody.
So Garrett Wallow or Fred Warner? I don't know. It's close. No, it's not.
Ask Nick Casario that. It's close for him.
Well, it might be for him.
I don't know if this closes the gap for them. But the thing that you can say is the Seahawks offense, it is pretty good, but I still have a little bit of an eye towards, does Sam Darnold hold up?
Yeah.
Because even last year, it was the playoffs where it kind of, he turned into a pumpkin a little bit. And of course, the two weeks prior to that. But then I wonder if you do have a Fred Warner who has that experience mm-hmm. In calling that guy, getting those guys in the right places. Does this look the same way? I don't know. It'll be an interesting thing to see.
I think it's a fair point, but I'm not necessarily like all in on Sam Darnold elite or anything, but I don't think he has a lot left to prove.
No. But it's not about proving it. It's about like being having that same consistent level of play, mm-hmm. and we'll see. I still think, though, that the Seahawks defense is so good that we might not have much to talk about there, but there's a lot of fun football games on the docket for this weekend in the divisional round. One of those obviously being your Houston Texans going to New England to face off against the Patriots. Patriots 3-point favorites, remember, in this. But one of the things that maybe might give your Texans a chance to upset at least Vegas's view of this is, can they run the football? And to that question, in my early looks at the Patriots, I think yes. I'll tell you why next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.